is Northfield Outdoors, brought to you by Professional Pride Realty. From hunting to hiking, camping to cooking, mushroom hunting to motorcycling, and so much more, your hosts, Dave Vesladol and Andy Beham, will enlighten, entertain, and inform you with a lively mix of guests and discussion on all things outdoors. And now your hosts, Dave and Andy.
Well, welcome everyone to another edition of Northfield Outdoors on KYMN 95.1, The One, and 1080 AM. As always, Northfield Outdoors is proud to be sponsored by Professional Pride Realty. I'm Dave Vesladol, and beside me is co-host Andy Beham. And all the way from Two Harbors, we have Hayes Scriven. How you doing, Hayes?
Oh, it's cold up here, guys.
It's cold down here, too. I'm not ready for this.
I don't feel so bad.
Yeah, I put the motorcycles away. I winterized them.
Oh, finally.
Yep. I don't have any hope of getting out anymore this year.
Well, it's been a strange year. We really didn't have a spring.
No.
And we really didn't have a fall.
Nope. And some of the weekends were not the best around here this summer.
So no.
I did not get the miles on the bike that I wanted, unfortunately.
Speaking of weather that wasn't the best, we had deer hunting opener.
Yes, we did. Of course, I hunt around home and stuff. Those first 3 days was not pretty. It was rain Saturday, rain Sunday, rain Monday. But I tell you what, if you were out hunting, you were going to see deer. The deer were moving. I saw deer every time I was out, a lot of deer.
I know quite a few people that didn't even go back out Sunday. They were just still too chilled to the bone from Saturday.
Well, unless you had a kind of a roof or something over your head, it was more duck hunting weather than deer hunting weather. But
yes, it was. I got ducks on deer opener. So
that Hayes was the smart one that went out and did a little of that and stuff. But I was happy. I took myself a nice buck.
Nice. A little two-pointer?
No, it was a large eight.
All right.
And stuff. It was one of the ones that I had seen on my camera. But there was one bigger that I had kind of waited for. I let some bucks pass on Saturday and Sunday. But when this guy came in, it was such a nice, clean, easy shot that, you know, you shouldn't pass those up when you got a nice big deer.
You thought like you were looking at the Cannon Falls 8-pointer sitting on the wall of shame there?
I was hoping it would be that big, but not quite that big. But no, I was happy with that. But
And how did duck season wrap up for you guys?
Yeah. Tell us a little about hunting up in Two Harbors.
Yeah, for me, I took me, you know, 3/4 of the season to actually feel comfortable to go out on a lake that I was looking at. And It's a bigger lake that I found. It takes me about a half hour to get across it with my little 7-horse motor, but nice lake. I found a spot where it could be nice and dry and got all set up, and within 10 minutes of shooting time, I had a whole flock of mergansers come in, and I did take a merganser. I know it's not the best eating duck in the world, but I did get a hen merganser, nice size, and then two hen buffalo head came in. And I got those. Those were, I don't know, if you've ever heard any of those come in. It sounded like a jet plane.
Yeah, they do. In. They're similar to like when a flock of teal come in. It's just this whoosh. And,
but that was like two birds that did it. It was shocking to me how loud it was. And it was kind of cool because both of them worked my decoys, which made me go, oh, yeah, I got my decoy set up right.
Yay!
but they worked it, and they landed right in the middle, and I was able to take two of them at the same time. I got in two shots. I got both of them, and it was kind of nice to kind of do that one on my own. I scouted the lake myself and set the decoys up myself and got out there and did everything on my own. It was kind of a little proud moment for me because I'd never done anything like that, so that was good.
Well, if you got any ducks left up there, send them on down. I'd like to get out just one more time before.
I think they all did go down because everything up here is froze up, and I haven't seen a duck in a week now. So
they may have gone down and gone past.
Yeah. I know. I was
the reports I'm hearing is that Northfield's kind of full of them right now, so you should be. Should have them around if you can get out. That's the problem.
Yeah, I don't think they'd appreciate it if I sat down there by the Cannon River right across from the post office and set up a duck blind. They're pretty smart hanging right around in there.
Yeah.
But I was talking with my son out in Montana yesterday, and he said the migration has started out there, and they really have, especially the mallards, big flocks coming down.
Hopefully they hold on for another week and a half.
Yeah, because I'm going to be heading out there to do a little duck hunting out there, so let's hope.
Well, we did have the opportunity, well, at least two of us had the opportunity to head out to the governor's deer hunting opener. You know, it's been a while since the three of us have gone to one of these together, hopefully here soon.
Well, we just like to rotate it out. We don't want to take advantage of shocking communities with all three of us going in.
No,
there.
No, we're too much for everyone to handle. You know,
yeah.
It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing, you two guys got to get rid of these jobs. If you don't have a job, it does make it a lot easier to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of hard when I have my biggest fundraiser of the night on the same night as that opener, so you know, I couldn't swing that one even though it was in Hinckley.
Yeah, it would have been a nice one any other weekend for you, but there are those things called responsibilities.
Yeah, yeah.
But I tell you, Andy and I did have a good time.
Yeah, it was a fun time.
Yeah, and they did a nice job
How was it set up compared to the other ones? I know this one isn't really co-hosted by Explore Minnesota or anything like that, but how is this one different than the other ones?
Well, one of the big differences I notice is that, to your point, Hayes, it's Explore Minnesota isn't doing this. It's really set up by the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association and the host city. That's where all the funds. There's no tax dollars or anything.
And I know there was, I wish I could remember her name, there was some people from Explore Minnesota that were helping with it.
Oh, yeah.
I got to talking with a woman who was helping coordinate the event who is on the same team with Lisa, who's put on some of these events in the past. So they're involved in it.
Yeah.
They're just not heading it up.
Yeah, in fact, you know, John Edmund, director of Explore Minnesota, was there. Actually, we got an interview with him, and I think that's going to be probably one of the first interviews we play.
Yeah.
So their presence was there, but they were more just offering the kind of background support, shall we say. But, yeah, otherwise it was Hinckley and the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association.
Outside of that, I think a big difference was there really wasn't much going on off-site.
No.
You know, it was, they had their program, we came, we checked in, and they had their program on Thursday evening, and that was really about it.
Yeah.
They did a guided hunt on, you know, we had our media on Friday morning where you could just go and do your interviews all set up in a room, and they offered some guided hunts. I think there was only six signed up for it.
Something like that.
And that's a big part of it, too, is with deer hunting. Everybody has their spots they go.
Oh, yes.
Everybody has their parties they hunt with. And people aren't going to give that up. So it was more, I know a couple of those too, they weren't even hunting. They were just media that was going along to observe.
Sure. Yep.
So,
but they did have some demonstrations. There was a guy demonstrating how to butcher a deer. You know, he had the carcass right there. He was doing that. You could have sat in that seminar and watch.
It's a knife sharpening one.
Yeah,
I almost bought a knife sharpener.
Yeah. I did like the knife sharpener, but I did not sit through that whole thing.
Yep.
So there was some of that stuff that went on. And, of course, the location was pretty neat right at the casino.
Yeah. And the food was amazing.
Oh, yes. Hayes, you missed some good food.
Yeah, you really did.
Oh, that's always the thing that I love the most is the food.
Hey, I have a copy of the menu. I'll send it off to you just to make you a little jealous.
Please don't.
But no, I think Hinckley did a really good job. They put on a really good event. And, you know, we'll take a listen to John Edmund here from Explore, the director from Explore Minnesota, kind of talking about these events and what they mean to the community. But, yeah, they did a great job and put on a fun time for all of us. So why don't we go ahead and take a listen to our interview with John Edmund.
Good morning, everyone. We are at the 2018 Minnesota Governor's Deer Opener. We are up at Hinckley, Minnesota at the Grand Casino. And you're listening to Northfield Outdoors on KYMN 95.1, the 1 and 1080 AM. And this morning, we have with us John Edmund. He is the State Tourism Director. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Thanks, guys, for being here.
John, why don't you speak about the importance of having these type of events? Why have a Governor's Deer Opener?
Well, we ask people what they know about Minnesota. I mean, not just in Minnesota, but in the surrounding states. And yes, they know about sports and they know about the Mall of America, but they really think of Minnesota because of its natural resources, our lakes and our prairies and our forests, which offers opportunities for habitat of all kinds. And that, in turn, gives opportunities for fishing and hunting. People that fish and hunt, they spend a lot of money on our economy. They support lodging and restaurants, and they spend a lot of dollars circulating, almost a quarter of a billion dollars that's spent on hunting and hunting-related equipment in Minnesota. So we hold these events because we want to celebrate the uniqueness of the state, and we want to celebrate that this tradition of people getting out and hunting and fishing. We've been doing a fishing opener for like 70 years in Minnesota. We've been doing a pheasant opener we just recently for the last 8 years, and this deer hunting opener for 16 years, and it's been held all throughout the state from Winona to Thief River Falls and every state in between. And we want to celebrate the tradition of hunting, but also use it an opportunity to talk about the uniqueness of the area that we're in and the other areas where you can enjoy those activities throughout the state.
Now, John, this location at Grand Casino, Andy and I had a lot of fun last night, and it was a great location. How do you pick these locations?
Well, whether it's a fishing opener, a pheasant opener, or a deer hunting opener, it's done on a bid basis. We basically throw it out to the state of Minnesota and say, who wants to host this? Who wants to promote fishing, hunting, pheasant hunting, deer hunting in their community and promote their community? And they have to step forward and say, we want to do it. And then oftentimes there's competing bids, and we look into it, Explore Minnesota, and then give it to the governor's office, and they usually make the final recommendation.
Well, again, I got to compliment you and your staff and everyone here. The banquet last night was great. We had a lot of fun. And again, this is a nice facility here at Grand Casino. Now, next year, the deer hunting opener will be where?
It'll be in Fergus Falls, Minnesota.
Up at Fergus Falls. So at that location, if I understood correctly, so they, again, came to you and lobbied or put together a program and then worked with the state to have it there?
Yeah, think of it as a formal bid. You know, we put out the requirements of doing an opener, and various communities say we can do it, and they say they commit to this, 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 and this. And we just, you know, Explore Minnesota, we evaluate and say, oh, yes, they have this hotel, they have this facility, they have this community that wants to do that. And then we kind of give it sort of a rating, if you will, a score. Then the governor's office then makes the final determination, says, yeah, and usually goes along with the recommendations and evaluations that we provide.
Well, again, John, I just want to compliment you and staff and everybody for putting this on. Things seem to run awful smooth, and I know they just don't happen.
Well, thank you very much. It takes a lot of people involved, the Department of Natural Resources, the Minnesota Deer Hunting Association, the city of Hinckley. It's a lot of people coming together, working pretty hard to put it together, so it's not just us.
Thanks again. Heading out deer hunting tomorrow?
No, I won't be hiding out deer hunting. I got to get home today and take care of the pets because my wife is gone, but hope to get out later on in the year.
Well, thank you again for your time.
All right. Thank you for being here.
All right. There you have it. John Edmond, the state tourism director from Explore Minnesota. And, you know, go ahead.
I was going to say, I was going to ask you a question once you jump. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, Explore Minnesota's done a really good job of realizing what outdoors and outdoor recreation means to the state of Minnesota. So, you know, kudos to them for promoting the hunting and fishing and outdoor life in Minnesota.
Well, I was going to ask you guys, so, you know, we've heard John say that pretty much at every event we've been to where he's talking about that. And, you know, it's nice to hear that you know, agencies are viewing hunting and other outdoor, you know, those kind of things, and trapping as a tourism draw for people, because it is important. It is a tourist activity. You know, when you're going places, you gotta get a hotel and food and all that kind of stuff. So I'm assuming you guys feel the same way with that.
Yeah, I don't think people realize how much money that hunting generates for the state. It's huge. And, you know, a lot of that is outside the state that comes into the state to take advantage of our deer hunting or duck hunting or fishing or pheasant hunting. Now, if we didn't have those resources, there's a lot of other things that would suffer, especially in the environment and habitat for wildlife.
And so you also get the trickle-down effect where people may visit an area to go hunting or fishing and find other reasons they'd like to go back. So it's, you know, good to promote the areas through one avenue to see if you can gather people in from another.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I was just going to mention something about going, kind of shifting gears a little bit to the resources there. You know, in the last few years, there's been a lot of conversation around deer hunting, in particular with the chronic wasting disease and all that stuff. You know, what are your guys' thoughts on the state of the population of the deer in Minnesota?
Well, from my perspective, although sometimes I'm a little bit critical of the DNR, I think they've actually done a very good job of managing the deer herd to make it so that there are deer available throughout the state for people to hunt, but also doing a good job of keeping a chronic wasting disease out of the state. You know, it's popped up a little bit down like in the southeast corner, but there's other states in the union where it's a real problem, but the DNR has been very aggressive.
Yeah. And I think they do a really good job of not only making sure that there's enough deer out there, but making sure that the herd is trimmed down to the point that it's a healthy herd also.
Yeah. Now, you'll get differing opinions on, you know, a lot of people would like to see more trophy deer out there, you know, so there's thoughts about expanding the area where they limit the smaller bucks that can be taken. But at the same point, you got to balance that against, you know, people like to go out and hunt and want to be able to bag a deer. You know, the next guy that we interviewed that we're going to play here is Eric Thorsonson. He's the acting.
Eric Thorson.
Thorson. There I go with the name again.
Yeah, there we go with the name.
But he's the acting big game leader, and we had a good conversation with him about managing the deer herd in Minnesota. So
yeah, he was a new one that I hadn't met at any of these events. And yeah, he is. It was a really interesting interview. We'll go ahead and take a listen to that.
That's why I got the name wrong, Andy.
Yes.
We are back. We are at the 2018 Minnesota Governor's Deer Opener. And this morning we are talking with Eric Thorson. He's the acting big game leader with the DNR. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Eric, tell you what, why don't you first explain what is it you do?
Yeah, so I basically oversee population management of white-tailed deer and elk in the state of Minnesota, so helping set up hunting seasons each fall and working with a number of different groups and individuals to do that.
Well, you must be getting a few pats on the back with all the deer that we have in Minnesota. You know, it sounds like a lot of deer hunters are pretty happy with where we're at with the population. Are you the guy that's responsible for all of that?
I can certainly take credit for it, but yeah, it's certainly a good time to be a deer hunter in Minnesota. The populations are up, and most hunters are pretty content with what they're seeing in the field and what they're able to harvest, so it's a good time here in Minnesota. Certainly a lot better than it was maybe 5 years ago when it came out of those hard back-to-back winters in northern Minnesota, and the deer populations were way down, but we've had regulations and a string of mild winters that allowed that deer population to recover, so you know, across the state we have real healthy deer population right now.
Now, you're also involved with the elk and the elk hunt. I'm not even sure a lot of people realize we've got an elk herd here in Minnesota.
Yeah, we have an elk population in kind of three areas in northwestern Minnesota. So around the Grigola area is where we've had it the longest, but there has not been a season there since 2012. But we do have a real healthy elk herds in Kitson County, and then a herd that goes back and forth between Minnesota and Manitoba, and we had hunting seasons here this past fall, and really a great resource that not a lot of people are aware of, and some world-class bulls up there, and once-in-a-lifetime hunting opportunities, so it's really a great opportunity there. We're trying to manage the population now to reduce damage to agricultural interests up there, but a great resource here in the state of Minnesota.
Is the plan to try and continue to grow that elk herd, or will it be managed at just a certain number of elk?
right now we're working under our elk management plan that kind of has a population cap, and so we're trying to manage the elk herd there and try to manage issues with agriculture up there before we consider any population increases. But it certainly is a huntable population right now, and encourage people to support our elk management here in the state.
Andy and I live south of the Twin Cities, and so we've been hearing a little bit about the chronic wasting disease. How big a concern is that for the DNR, and how concerned should we be?
Yeah, it's probably our number one concern as far as whitetail deer populations go in the state. It's been a huge issue elsewhere in the nation. You know, we certainly have had issues here in the state of Minnesota. We've had a number of captive cervid farms that have had positive animals tested, and so we're doing surveillance testing around those farms. And then in southeastern Minnesota, we also have wild deer with the disease in permit area 603, so a fairly isolated geographic area right now, but it's a real concern about that spreading to the rest of our herd in southeastern Minnesota, and we also have it in our neighboring states in Iowa and Wisconsin, so pretty significant risks in southeastern Minnesota especially.
Now there's a new disease, and I'm not real familiar with it. It's called EHD, and I'm not even going to try and explain what that stands for. Can you tell us just a little bit about it? Is it something we should be concerned about?
Yeah, something that we should certainly watch. I know our neighboring states have had EHD outbreaks, and it can be a significant factor in mortality of wild deer. The case that we just had in Minnesota was just on a captive game farm facility, it's not known to affect wild deer at this time. So there's more unknowns than knowns about that particular case right now. But we are certainly interested in any reports of sick or dead deer in the area, as always, and I'll be looking into that issue in the future. I think the period for risk of that disease has kind of passed, because that generally occurs late summer, early fall, when it's drier conditions. So, but certainly want to hear from hunters if they find anything in the field or see anything next year. So we'll continue to monitor the situation.
Is part of your job or at the DNR is working with these private owners that have private deer herds and elk herds, or do you get involved with that?
We're not the regulatory agency for captive deer farms, but the Board of Animal Health is, and so they regulate kind of what goes on in those facilities and movement of animals and testing and identification. Where we come involved is if those animals escape, we work with them to kind of coordinate with the owner and getting that animal captured or taken care of and tested, or when it has interactions with wild deer, and certainly have concerns about that, because those captive farms can have a significant risk factor potentially affecting our wild deer. So we work closely with them trying to improve policies and regulations related to game farms.
You know, it's always interesting talking to different hunters. They have different opinions about the DNR and what they're doing. But I got to tell you, they should be pretty happy with the way that I think the deer herd are being managed. There's going to be a lot of opportunities out there this year to take deer.
Yes, there certainly is, especially in southeastern Minnesota, through the transition part in central Minnesota. In northwestern Minnesota, we have a lot of areas that are green or intensive areas where you can use bonus permits, a lot of managed areas where there's a two-deer limit, and there's a lot of areas where you can take a deer of either sex, hunter choice, or if you were successful in the lottery, you had more antlerless permits available, so should be a lot of opportunities for hunters here this fall.
Well, we've been talking with Eric Thorsens, the acting big game leader for the DNR. Thank you, Eric, for taking some time to speak with us.
Yep, thank you, and everybody have a safe, enjoyable hunt.
All right, that was Eric Thorsens, the big game director for the DNR. It was interesting.
It was interesting talking to him a little bit about the elk herd. I'm not sure even a lot of people realize we have an elk herd, and then there's an actual lottery system to be able to draw to take a couple elk.
And I didn't.
Did he say how many elk there were in the state of Minnesota?
I don't think he did in the interview. I remember it being mentioned to us, and I was surprised by it, but now I wish I could recall that number.
And one of the concerns is from landowners. They don't, in that part of the state, a lot of landowners don't want that herd to be real large, simply because of crop damage, and you need big a lot of land for a large elk herd. Minnesota is not Montana or Colorado with the big wide open spaces, unfortunately. We have a lot of people here.
I'm just looking at a press release that he had sent out. It looks like, he said in Kittison County, it looked like it was a herd of 75
yeah.
was in there, and I know that's just one of the zones. But that's kind of interesting, and it looks like they apply for, at least this last year, they did up to 22 licenses.
Yep, that sounds about right.
Offered through it, so.
But I really don't know. They're going to have difficulty letting that herd get bigger because they will have to address some of the concerns from landowners and how they address crop damage and things like that.
Yeah.
So, hey, let's go ahead and take a short break and hear from our sponsor.
Professional Pride Realty is a proud sponsor of Northfield Outdoors on 95 The One. Let the staff and realtors at Professional Pride help you make coming indoors from the outdoors a welcoming experience in the home that's right for you. The realtors at Professional Pride are local and know the Northfield market. Whether it's buying your first home, upgrading from your current home, or purchasing your own slice of the outdoors, let Professional Pride help you every step of the way. To learn more, check them out on Facebook or at ProfessionalPrideRealty.com. Keep enjoying the outdoors and let Professional Pride worry about your indoors.
Well, we are back, and we Andy, Hayes, and Dave here have been talking about the 2018 Minnesota Governor's Deer Hunting Opener. We've been had the opportunity to interview some of the people from the DNR. The next interview you're going to be hearing is going to be Mr. Ingwall, the Executive Director of the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association. Last year, we also had a chance to talk to him as he was out deer hunting.
Yeah.
Or he came out.
He called us from his truck.
Yes. But if you're not familiar with the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association, they're a great organization. They have a number of chapters throughout the state. And they do a lot of hunter education, but they also do a lot of fundraising for habitat in this state. And, of course, that habitat not only benefits deer, but all sorts of wildlife. But, Andy, should we go ahead and listen to that interview?
Yeah, I'm going to cue that up. One thing for our listeners, while we were on break, I went ahead and looked up some of the numbers on the elk herd. And as of 2015, between the three herds, we're looking at almost 300 animals in the state of Minnesota.
Wow.
So,
you know, it would be fun if that could get bigger. But, yeah. Again, just some concerns there on how they're going to compensate landowners for crop damage and everything else. Because elk can eat a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we will stick with the main big game around here with deer and listen to Craig Engwall, the Executive Director of the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association.
Well, we are back at the 2018 Minnesota Governor's Deer Opener in Hinckley, Minnesota at the Grand Casino. And you're listening to us on KYMN 95.1 The One and 1080 AM. And we are lucky enough to get the Executive Director of MDH, the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association, Greg Ingwall. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Nice to be with you.
Last year when we were talking to you, you were actually out hunting. We were able to get you out of your deer stand and come back to your truck. This is a little bit nicer situation where we're, well, maybe not.
I was going to beg to differ with you, but this is a good situation, though. I'll be able to leave here and head up to camp and get there and see my friends and relatives and just have a great time.
Well, first let's start out. MDHA, the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association, who are you guys and why are you guys relevant?
Well, we're a grassroots organization, started in 1980 when 10 guys came together and wanted to do something to help deer and deer habitat. People forget in 1971 there was no deer season in Minnesota, so things were pretty rugged at that time. From there, we've grown to 60 chapters and nearly 20,000 members across the state. And we do raise money and focus on habitat. We do youth education through our Four Corn camps. And we also are advocating at the state capitol and U.S. capitol on behalf of deer and deer hunters.
Now, you have done a lot of work with habitat, and there's some great success stories. And I know you personally have been kind of the driving force behind a lot of these. So do want to give you a pat on the back on that. But talk a little bit more of what that means to the state of Minnesota.
Well, thanks. And so I believe it was in 2008 the voters passed an amendment that raised the sales tax to fund clean water and arts and different things, including habitat. So we've been very active in seeking those grant dollars and matching them with some of ours. So an example of a project would be what we call a Jack Pine Forest Project, where we ended up saving over a couple thousand acres of forest land in Hubbard and Cass County. That was in an area where those lands are being converted into potato fields. Nothing against potato fields at all, but there's existing land that's available that's not prime forest habitat. So we acquired those lands, which were not open to the public. We donated them to the counties where they were, and their land departments managed them. So it's open to the public, open for recreation, and we protected great habitat, not only for deer, but other species as well. That's kind of an example of the things we're doing.
You know, you bring up a great point. Some of the work you've done with habitat isn't just for deer hunters. If you're a non-hunter, that's also really important.
Absolutely. And in fact, we do. We partner with organizations like Rough Grouse Society and others who we recognize that young successional forest, for instance, benefits a number of species, including grouse, including warblers and different things. You name it, having a diverse forest is very important, and the projects we do promote that.
You know, this has got to be a full-time difficult job for you sometimes, because I know in talking to other deer hunters, not everybody always necessarily agrees on some of our management approaches, but I think it's, well, I'll let you speak to this, but it's nice having an organization that kind of pushes forward of one voice, so to speak, with, to work with the state.
It's true, but getting to that one voice takes some work too, and there are procedures and processes to get there. So our chapters can make resolutions, and they get voted on at our annual meeting. And so it's not always 100% this way. In fact, we've had a couple issues that have been controversial where the membership votes 52-48 one way or the other. But we have we all are in it together to benefit deer and habitat, and that's the main focus. So you can get through those disagreements about a policy issue, whether it's crossbows for all hunters, etc. I mean, there's some issues that are controversial to deer hunters, but we deal with it and go forward.
Now recently I saw where it was released a 10-year management plan for deer. Can you speak to that, and how was your organization involved with that?
Well, two of us, including me, were advisory team members. It was a long process, 16 months. Where DNR is now done with that, and we're going to see how the implementation goes. And I won't even try to summarize it in a radio interview, but one of the things I really wanted to focus on was more hunter involvement in the process. So, for instance, in the past, it's very difficult for hunters to and other interested people to comment on number of antlerless permits in a deer permit area in a given year, or whether it should be bucks only or hunter's choice, etc. I believe this will lead to a much more open process where every year people can offer their opinions on what things should be. But there's a whole bunch more. I encourage people to read it. It's pretty dense, but there's a lot of stuff in there. And then it's a question about ongoing discussions. There will be an statewide advisory team that comes out of that people can talk to, and they'll be meeting with DNR all the time, and we will be part of that MBHA. So it's important. We've had a grouse plan, pheasant plan, duck plan, etc. And then our biggest species, we have not had one until now. And so we'll see. The proof will be in the pudding how it goes. Cautiously optimistic. We'll take it from there.
You know, I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities this year. The deer herd looks pretty good. I think people will be happy. But looking out to the future, are there concerns, things that we should be worrying about, or does the future look just rosy for deer hunting in Minnesota?
Oh, of course, there are concerns. There are a lot of good things, too. We're blessed in this state to have so much land available for people to hunt. But one of the legitimate concerns is how many hunters will there be? We're an aging population of people. I've looked at our membership over the last... Our average age in the last 15 years has gone up about 10 years, so our average... Our median age of our member is 57. I would like that to be a lot lower. We like to get a lot more people involved, because people don't pay attention to the flip side, is that we really, in essence, through our license fees, fund a lot of what the Department of Natural Resources does that goes far beyond deer hunting. And so fishing licenses and deer licenses really are the main funding source for a lot of their activities. If you have fewer hunters, fewer anglers, you're going to have fewer dollars to do what needs to be done. So that's a concern. That's a long-term concern, is keeping people engaged in what we have such a passion about.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you taking the time this morning to talk with us. We've been talking with Mr. Engwall, the executive director of the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association, and I suppose you've got a couple of bucks that you've been keeping an eye on.
I hope so. Last year I was confounded. They would taunt me by being on my camera at night, even two bucks sparring, and I never saw one during daylight last season. So I'm hoping for a different scenario this year.
Well, again, thank you for all the work that you're doing in the state of Minnesota. I know it isn't always easy, but you guys are doing a great job. Thank you again.
Yep, thank you. Good luck to everybody, and be safe out there.
All right, that was Craig Engwall, the executive director for the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association.
You know, Andy and Hayes, he brought up a good point, and I remember this as a kid. In 1971, there were so few deer in the state, statewide, no hunting. But there was, even after that, for a few years, there were portions of the state where the deer hunting was closed because there just wasn't deer. And then I remember, you know, late 70s and early 80s, there was such a big deal if you got drawn for a doe permit. There were so few taken out. And you'd go out and you'd be lucky to see a deer. Yeah. So to speak. And so things have really changed. So that does speak well for the management.
You remember that, Hayes, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, totally. Me too. You
know. Well, you guys are lucky because, you know, I do think this is kind of almost a little bit of the golden age of deer hunting in the state. I mean, the opportunities are there. The other thing about the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association, you know, talking about habitat, what west of the Mississippi, throughout the whole country, there's a lot of public land for people to hunt on, and a lot of hunting organizations have added to that. You go east of the Mississippi, that's a whole different story. It's tough to find places to hunt because there's very little public land available for hunting. Most of it's all tied up on private land. So we're actually pretty lucky living here in the state because there are a lot of opportunities to, for example, the deer hunt, where there is public land or land made available for the average person to go without having to pay a big access fee or something like that.
But I feel, too, in Minnesota, farmers have been pretty willing to work alongside of hunters to open up their land and do some of that also.
Well, and doesn't it speak kind of volumes to the importance of groups like Craig's group there and Pheasants Forever and, you know, DU chapters and all that stuff around the state, to have having strong groups like that to help build up the habitat? A lot of people have a misconception, I feel, of groups like that they're all about, you know, people wanting just to get together and talk about something that they shot. But in reality, they're being real true conservationists where they're, you know, buying up land and setting it aside for public use and developing the habitat to make sure we have stuff like that. I actually kind of, over the weekend, I had a funeral for my grandmother, who was very instrumental in the development of the Bluebird Recovery Program in the state of Minnesota. You know, and they're almost kind of the similar types of programs where you're trying to develop a group that can help save a habitat for a certain species, and that's what the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association does, and Pheasants Forever, and DU chapters do, and all that stuff. And it's just so important to have those groups around and be active.
Yeah, it definitely is. I didn't realize until getting involved with you Misfits that going to some of these openers, these land dedications, and how, I mean, these huge projects that are, unless they're being done in your community, you don't necessarily realize around the state what, I mean, they're gigantic areas that they're setting up for conservation, not only for hunting and fishing availabilities, but just for taking care of the land.
These organizations also give a much larger voice to whether it's county, state, or federal government on the importance of habitat, not just for hunting. But it's one thing for Joe Blow to walk in and, you know, maybe get a hold of your state representative and talk about hunting and habitat. It's another when you have an organization like the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association
Pheasants Forever, because they also spend money on research.
Yep.
Which doesn't, that means the state and the federal government aren't having to spend that money.
Yeah.
So if you're an environmentalist, these organizations are a plus to you.
Yeah. And the politicians are likely to more likely to listen when you're representing a whole bunch of people, a whole bunch of voters.
Yes, exactly. You know, that kind of gets into our next interview with Tom Landwehr, the DNR commissioner. He's a good guy. He's always made himself available to us and to everybody.
Yeah.
I hope the new governor-elect will keep him on. I know that's an appointed position.
Yep.
But
he said he'll have a meeting in January to find out his future.
Yeah. So. Andy, you want to go ahead and play that interview?
Let's do it.
We are back at the 2018 Minnesota Governor's Deer Opener, and we are extremely lucky to have one of the most important men in the state of Minnesota, Tom Landwehr, the commissioner of the DNR. Good morning.
Oh, my gosh, I think I'm going to have to charge more.
Hey, Tom, these events are always a lot of fun, but you seem to be the most popular guy around here. And it's not just at the deer opener. I've seen that at the fishing opener and at the pheasant opener. You seem to be the guy with all the answers.
Well, I think it may be because I bought a few beers last night, so people want to hang around hoping they're going to get the next freebie. So,
yeah, we did have a lot of fun last night. And that's what makes these events fun, is to be able to kind of connect with people from all around the state and stuff, and officials like yourself.
Well, and I think, you know, really when you think of the fishing opener, the pheasant opener, the deer opener, I mean, what we're trying to promote here is that this is a great place wherever we're at. And today, we're in Hinckley and Pine County, but also that these activities, which are such a big part of the life of many Minnesotans, they are these big social events. You know, you go to deer camp, you go to fishing, the fishing opener. It's not just about going out and getting in a tree stand and, you know, waiting hours and hours to see a buck, but it's about getting together with your pals and your family and your friends and just having a good time. And so I think that's what's really special about the deer opener, and I think that's somewhat unique to Minnesota, this notion of a deer camp. I'm told over the years, I've learned that deer camp is really a kind of a unique thing to Minnesota, and it really is one of those heritage items that I think is worth preserving.
Now, it looks like we're probably going to have another good season this year. The deer herd looks healthy and looks like there's a lot of numbers. That just doesn't happen by accident, does it?
Well, you know, and you know, people sometimes forget this, but 4 and 5 years ago, we had two bad winters back-to-back. We had two cold winters with a lot of snow, and it really hurt our deer herd. We lost a lot of deer in those winters, especially in northern Minnesota. So the last 3 years, we have been trying to build that deer herd back up. We had very, very conservative season 3 years ago. We had this lowest harvest in two or three decades. We shot 130,000 deer that year, down from almost 250,000 just a few years before. So we've been very restrictive in the number of antlerless permits that we've allowed over the last couple of years, because we want to save those does so we can build that population. And this year we'll shoot over 200,000 deer, which is going to be a 40% success rate. That's pretty darn good for deer hunters. But to your point, yes, it takes a lot of work from measuring how many deer are out there, identifying what the productivity is, and then establishing seasons so that we protect that breeding stock and ensure we're going to have a good season in the following year as well.
You know, I'm talking to different hunters and different people around. Sometimes the DNR, that people will have opinions on what the DNR should be doing. But I want to give you a chance to kind of pat yourself on the back. I mean, this is a pretty nice success story that we've got going here with deer hunting in Minnesota.
Well, you're absolutely right. And it's, you know, to the extent that, you know, we have success here, a great reason for that is because we have people who care. Minnesotans care about their natural resources, and they care about deer, and so they're very supportive of the programs. They're very supportive of the licenses and everything we've got in place in order to keep that going. But we've got, you think of what we've got here, we've got all the ingredients. We have great habitat, whether it's public or private. We've got great access because we've got all these state forests and all these public lands that people can hunt on. And we still have a lot of hunters who care enough that they're going to go and they're going to bring in that next generation. They're going to bring in the grandkids. They're going to bring in a spouse. They're going to bring in the neighbor next door and get them hunting. And that's, those three things in combination are really what makes for a strong hunting heritage. And I just feel so blessed to be in Minnesota because of that.
Tom, can you talk a little bit about what the economic impact of deer hunting is to Minnesota? you know, we talk deer hunting and to some of my non-hunting friends and stuff. I don't think they realize there is a economic impact with deer hunting in Minnesota.
Well, absolutely, and it's both in terms of the volume, and I'll talk about that in a moment, but it's also in terms of the distribution. So we've got 500,000 deer hunters in Minnesota. It's estimated on average a hunter spends $1,500 in a year to go pursue their species, in this case deer. So when you multiply that out, it's $750 million that is spent in Minnesota for deer hunting. But the distribution of that is important as well, because half of those hunters come out of the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, and yet they're going up to here, Hinckley, Pine County, they're going up to War Road, they're going out to Fergus Falls. So they're taking those dollars out of the cities, and they're bringing them into those small communities that otherwise may not have any tourism opportunities. So it's the amount of money, and it's that distribution of money that makes, you know, it's really an economic engine.
You know, we're in an election year here and stuff. Is it difficult to keep politics out of the DNR, or are you guys a pretty independent from the rest of the state agencies?
You know, I used to teach a class, and every now and then I still talk to the university, and I always remind them that, you know, the DNR is a state agency. We are a product of politics. You know, we are established by statute. You know, we are overseen by the governor, essentially, and the legislature. So this notion that we're going to keep politics out of natural resources, it just doesn't fit, because we are a product of government. At the same time, when we think about managing natural resources, whether it's fish and game or it's forests or it's minerals, you know, our job is to follow the statutes, follow the rules, and implement those programs consistent with those statutes. So that does give us some buffering from politics. And, you know, it's not infrequent that I'll have a legislator call me and say, you know, we got this problem, we got that problem, I'd like to do this, I'd like to do that. And I say, you know, I appreciate the call from a legislator. I highly respect legislators. But if they want us to change something, they have to act as a body and pass a law, because that's what we abide by. We follow the laws, and if they want to change something, pass a law, and then we'll take that. So yes, we are a product of politics, but at the same time, we have rules and we have biology that we follow in order to make sure that we reach this optimal point of, you know, sustainable natural resources.
Now, Tom, you've been with the DNR for a number of years. Now, I'm not saying you're old, but you've been around a little bit. Last night when we were having a beer, I said, I'm going to ask you a tough question. What's changed in the DNR in your work experience with the DNR?
We don't say old, we say seasoned, right? Seasoned, okay. So I've been commissioner coming on 8 years now in January, but I started with DNR back in the late 70s, early 80s as a biologist. So I have been an observer of DNR for, you know, more than 30 years. You know, I think the thing that's really, well, two things I would say have changed is, one is the scope of responsibilities for DNR. You know, DNR started out back in the 30s as a game warden.
Yep.
That was it. We were a game warden. In fact, it was 1887. The first game warden was appointed, and that was the DNR. And over the years, then in the, I think, 1911, we established a state forester. And so over the years, the work that DNR does has expanded greatly. So you think of more recently aquatic invasive species. You think about, you know, CWD. These are things that DNR never had to deal with in the past. So the scope of responsibilities has changed, but I think the other thing is that some of the challenges have changed. So, again, aquatic invasive species, CWD, we never had to deal with that stuff before. Just a growing population, more and more people, smaller and smaller pieces of habitat. So the changes are not so much in the things that we provide to people. We still provide hunting, fishing, economic development, and natural resource protection. But how we actually have to do those things has changed dramatically, and it's just much more intense today with more people and greater pressures than we've ever had.
You know, Tom, I do want to pass on a thank you to you. You've always been very approachable. Some people in some of the government agencies aren't always, but you seem to be, whether you're talking to a small TV station or a big radio station like KYMN, you always seem to be able to make the time. But I think isn't that an important part of your job?
I think, you know, when I think of what a commissioner does, I mean, I don't actually go out and manage deer. I don't go out and, you know, set up timber sales. My job is to, you know, lead the DNR in the right direction and also be the the connection to legislators and the ambassador for the program. So I think it is a big part of the job of any commissioner to be out there talking with people, listening to people more than anything, you know, finding out what's on people's mind, what people would like to see, and making and helping people understand why we do the things we do. Because we were talking about earlier, you know, for any particular issue, there's five different opinions, and at the end of the day, we got to make a decision, and we're going to make four people mad and one person happy. And so how do I explain to those four people why we had to do what we had to do?
Well, we've been talking with Tom Landwehr, the DNR commissioner of Minnesota. And Tom, again, thank you for taking the time. And you heading out deer hunting tomorrow morning?
I am, and the irony is I'm going to be hunting about 20 miles from here, but I have to go pick up my son tonight and then come back up. So I'm going to drive 4 hours to end up right back where I am so I can hunt here tomorrow morning. So, yeah, absolutely, I'll be out and really looking forward to it.
Well, good luck to you. Have a good hunt.
Well, thank you, and good luck to everybody, and be safe. Remember to buy your license ahead of time. Don't buy it after your deer is down.
Thank you very much.
All right, there you go. Tom Landwehr, the commissioner for the DNR, who's always a good interview. And
yeah, I really do hope they keep him on.
How do you say his name, Dave?
Tom. He's the DNR commissioner of Minnesota. Okay, you two.
I will have to admit. So my wife Sarah filled in for you, Hayes, for taking pictures and things during the interviews. And she did put up the letter C right in front of Dave for Craig Engwall so he could stop calling him Greg.
Yep. Oh, I'm terrible at that. Hey, Hayes, you missed the opportunity to mingle with some interesting people up at the Minnesota Deer Hunting opener.
Yeah, Thursday night, the whole program wrapped up, and we decided to go have a couple beverages and hang out, and we got to chatting with some people. One of the guys we chatted with most of the night was actually came around looking for you. It was Derek, who produces an outdoor show.
Yeah.
Can't remember his last name now. It's like Wild Outdoors.
Oh.
He remembered you from the pheasant opener.
Yeah.
Derek. Yeah.
We talked.
Yeah, he does the radio show with the glasses and stuff.
Yep.
One of the regional, his show's a little regional. I think it's Minnesota, Illinois, Wisconsin, kind of stuff,
But Andy and I, of course, always hardworking, you know, trying to find that interesting information to bring back to KYMN Studios. We did come across an interesting gentleman that we're going to have on in January.
Yeah, we can't just stick to an interview for this show. We met a man from Georgia by the name of Hovey Smith.
Yeah. Written several books.
74 years old.
Yep.
And is a big hunter and even a bigger storyteller.
Oh, so. Unbelievable story. So that's why we got to have him on. So but we have a little promo.
He did give us a promo to promote the show, so we're going to go ahead and play that for you. It'll explain a lot about him.
You're listening to 95.1 The One and 1080 AM KYMN Radio, and this is Northfield Outdoors with Andy and Dave. We're at the 2018 Minnesota Governor's Deer Opener, and as we've been doing interviews, it's always fun to walk around and meet some of the other people that are in town for it, and we have run into one of the most interesting persons. We were sitting around the bar last night, and we ran into Hovey Smith. Welcome, Hovey.
Well, thank you. Yes, I'm the author of some 18 books, and I've written about everything from crossbows to muzzleloaders to spear hunting, etc., etc. And what I cover is the unusual aspects of deer hunting, in particularly how you can hunt close to home with minimal equipment, get your deer, and not cost you an arm and a leg doing it. And in January, we're going to have a whole show about this.
We were talking with Hovey last night, and he had us at stitches with some great stories. So, folks, in January, we're going to have more than just a five-second interview here. We're going to have Hovey on for the whole show, so you're going to have to tune in for that. So, Hovey, we'll be looking forward to getting a hold of you in January.
Yes, sir. We'll get that one done.
There you have it, Hovey Smith. I have to. You and Jody took off on Friday morning, and Sarah and I stayed up for one more night. We ended up back at the same bar sitting with Hovey for a couple hours.
I bet you were started to have a few laughs.
We were.
He's a storyteller.
Definitely so. A show people will have to tune in for. He's an interesting man. But as we are running out of time, we have no more time for interviews and interesting men. We only have time for Dave's interesting facts.
Hayes, you can play along with this one, but this is somewhat of a test for Andy because everything I'm going to be asked was talked about at the Minnesota Deer.
That's not fair. You bought me beers.
While I paid
I'm not going to know anything.
So. Well, you should, Hayes, if you did any pre-show prep. But this was
I do. I prep.
This was all covered by the speakers on the podium. So we'll check it, Andy out here.
All right, let's have at it.
So as you know, the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association is a nonprofit group. Do you know, have you heard their Hides for Habitat, that program?
I have heard of it.
Hayes, have you heard of that?
Yes.
Okay, do you know what year they started collecting Hides for Habitat?
I am going to go with 1983.
Hayes, do you want to try for the correct answer?
I will go with 78.
No, it's 1985, but Andy was close. But Andy, if you were paying attention, since
I thought you were talking about what year they came up with the idea for implemented it.
Okay. Well, okay. Since then, how many hides have they collected and resulting in how many dollars for Habitat?
50.
This is quite impressive. That's where everybody stood up and applauded.
They have collected...
Do you remember that when they announced that?
I had to run to the restaurant.
100,000.
They have collected 40,000 hides.
You guys aren't even close.
A million.
Well, you're actually closer. 864,876 hides, resulting in $5.2 million that they've used for habitat in this state.
Well, that's impressive.
Wow.
Okay, how about when was the first deer hunting opener, governor's deer hunting opener in Minnesota? What year?
So that would have been Tim Pawlenty.
Yeah.
So it would have been...
16 years ago.
I'm going to say... 2002.
Hayes, you want to try for the right answer?
16 years ago.
No, what year?
I can't do math in my head. That's
16 years ago would have been 2002.
2000, yeah, I was just going to say 2002.
It took him 2 years to get it done, so 2004.
2003. So you are on either side of it, Andy.
I like to bookend the right answer.
Okay, what was the town that the very first one was held in 2003?
Fergus Falls.
That is incorrect. So let's see if Andy paid attention because they talked about that also.
They totally talked about that, and it was Brainerd.
Yes.
I know.
Hey.
Okay. I didn't say it like a question. I said it like an answer.
Yes, you did. That's pretty impressive. Okay. One last one here. How many other states have a governor's deer hunting opener?
None.
Hayes, what's your thoughts?
Two.
Andy, you paid attention, and you were correct. Minnesota, and this is kind of surprising. This is the only state in the union that has a Minnesota governor's deer hunting opener. So, congratulations, Andy. You must have gotten back to your seat and caught the final end of the program.
Those are some interesting facts, Dave. Thank you. Well, we'd like to thank you for listening, and as always, we'd like to invite you to tune in next Saturday to On Tap with Corey and Ira, and see what interesting breweries and beer they'll be talking about next week. As always, the show will be archived on kymnradio.net and found under Northfield Outdoors. Hey, thanks to you, Hayes, for updating the Northfield Outdoors Facebook page, and to Professional Pride Realty for sponsoring Northfield Outdoors. And until next time,
get out there and enjoy the outdoors, folks. Thanks again.
Thank you.
This has been Northfield Outdoors with Dave Vesladol and Andy Behem, brought to you by Professional Pride Realty. Join Dave and Andy every other Saturday morning at 11 o'clock right here on 95 The One or streaming at kymnradio.net.